want to get anybody and everybody involved in finding her and bringing her home safely to her family.
Is there a murderer in the midst of the United States Congress?
24-year-old graduate student Chandra Levy had simply vanished. Allegations of an affair with a married congressman soon surfaced.
Her body was found at D.C.'s Rock Creek Park. Juandique, an illegal immigrant from El Salvador, was convicted based on a jailhouse confession to other inmates.
Prosecutors are moving to dismiss charges against the man convicted of killing Capitol Hill intern Chandra Levy. Ingmark Wandika was convicted 6 years ago for Levy's murder in 2001. But last year, he was granted a new trial, and now prosecutors say they don't feel they'd be able to convict him again based on, quote, recent unforeseen developments that were investigated over the past week.
Welcome to True Crime Brewery. I am Jill.
And I'm Dick. Good evening.
Tonight's episode, The End of the Affair, The Death of Chandra Levy. Now, Chandra Levy, 24 years old, was working as an intern at the Federal Bureau of Prisons when she vanished on May 1st of 2001. She was a graduate student at the University of Southern California. Investigations by the police revealed that she was having an affair with a congressman, Gary Condit, a 53-year-old married Democrat. Now, Chandra's skeletal remains were found in May of 2002 in Rock Creek Park, and she was presumed murdered. Her case went unsolved until March of 2009, when Ingmar Guadiki, I hope I'm saying that right, an illegal immigrant from El Salvador, was arrested. Guadiki was convicted of murdering Chandra and sentenced to 60 years in prison. Now, in 2015, Guandiki was granted a new trial when his attorneys suggested that Armando Morales, a jailhouse snitch, fabricated a confession by Guandiki in his first trial. The new trial was scheduled for October of this year, but just last week, prosecutors announced that they would not proceed with the case against Guandiki because they no longer believed that they could prove his guilt in Chandra's murder. This decision has brought up many questions in the media and by the public. Gary Condit was cleared as a suspect back in 2002, but has lived under a cloud of suspicion for the past 15 years nonetheless. So before we dig deeply into this case, let's read a couple of our 5-star reviews and open up a beer. How's that sound?
That'll be a good start. Let's do it.
Okay. And before I read the reviews, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who joined Team Tie Grabber this past week. It was a great showing, and I was really happy with it.
It's always nice to hear from fans.
It is. I call them listeners. I don't know. Fans is a bit of a jump.
Okay.
Okay.
Listeners.
Listeners. So 5-star reviews. The first one I want to read is called Thank You. It's by Sierra 44. I absolutely love you too. I have become addicted to listening to true crime while I do pretty much everything. Many podcasts go through the crime just like a true crime television show would, which is great. Yet you guys share your opinions and different versions of things that may have happened. I often find myself talking along and becoming engaged. Thank you for making my mind work. Well, thank you, Sierra 44.
That's a nice one to start with.
Mm-hmm. And welcome to the brewery. The second one is titled Cutest Couple Award Goes to, and this is by Angela 206er.
Well, I already like this one.
I love your podcast. The two of you together are charming, witty, and informative. Keep up the good work and banter too.
We will.
So Angela 206er, welcome to the brewery.
Welcome, Angela.
And the final one, which is lengthy and embarrassingly complimentary.
Well, you don't have to read it then.
No, I told everyone I'd read them, and I'm going to read it.
Okay.
So it's called Drink It In by Farm Boy Bo. This podcast has quickly become one of my favorites. If Satisfaction and Awesomeness had a baby, it would give birth to this podcast. Trust me, if you drink this podcast in, it always goes down smooth, just like Dick's Beer Reviews, which admittedly has created some temptation for even us non-beer drinkers. Unlike some of the other true crime podcasts out there, which are hard to get through, I find these two very easy to listen to. Their voices flow in a peaceful manner, which hits the ear like a creamy slab of rich butter. I'm going to come back for more because these two are the cream of the crop, and as a farmer, if there's one thing I think I know about, it's the crop.
Well, that certainly was an effusive review.
Wasn't it?
It was.
So,
it was very nice.
Yeah. Farm Boy Bo, welcome to the brewery with open arms. So Dick has a beer for us, and it's from the D.C. area, right, Dick?
It is. We're keeping our tradition of taking a beer from the state or the region where the crime occurred.
Absolutely.
So this time I took a District of Columbia beer. It's called The Corruption, which sounds like an apt name for Washington, D.C.
I thought it was very appropriate.
This is brewed by D.C. Brow Brewing Company in Washington. Now, it's an American IPA, not a double or imperial IPA. So this is just a different version of the IPA style. It tends to be much more flavorful than the English IPA. Its color can range from a pale golden color to a reddish amber. Hops are typically American with a big herbal and or citrus character. Bitterness tends to be high, and they are moderate to medium-bodied with a balancing malt background. So that describes a nice average run-of-the-mill American IPA.
And
The Corruption fits that bill exactly.
Well, that's what you want, right?
And I did pour this into a snifter.
Good boy.
It's a hazy amber color with a small white head. There's earthy, piney hops and some peppery sensation. Something tickled my nose. So I think kind of peppery.
Okay.
Very floral and herbal and earthy. So there's the hop profile.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's caramel malt that shows up late. Nice malt background. It's a medium-bodied, easy-drinking beer.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the review. Let's give it an open and we can start drinking soon, right?
We can.
Okay, Dickie, how about you grab those stools and I'll grab these snifters, and we'll head on down to that quiet end of the bar.
Let's start this thing.
Okay, let's talk about the end of the affair.
I like the title.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chandra was born in Cleveland, Ohio, to her parents, Robert and Susan Levy. Her family moved to Modesto, California, when she was in high school. She earned a journalism degree from San Francisco State and attended the University of Southern California Graduate School. As an intern requirement in Chandra's final semester, she moved to D.C. to work with the Federal Bureau of Prisons. She was scheduled to return to California in May of 2001 for her graduation. Now, the District of Columbia Police Department was first aware that Chandra was missing on May the 6th when her parents called from Modesto and said that they had not heard from their daughter in 5 days. Police checked with hospitals and Chandra's friends, but saw no signs of foul play. Chandra's father called the police again on May 7th and told them that she'd been having an affair with a U.S. congressman. Now, on May 8th, he called again to tell them that he believed the congressman was Gary Condit. Chandra's aunt also called the police to tell them that Chandra had confided in her about her affair with Gary Condit as well.
So this lady goes missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't very long until fingers are pointing at Mr. Condit.
Sure. I would agree with that. Having an affair, the man you're having an affair with is definitely someone they want to talk to.
That's right.
So what do we know about this guy?
Well, as you said, he was a congressman.
Yeah.
He was born in 1948.
All right. Yeah, we said he was 53 when she went missing.
Right.
Yep.
He attended Modesto Junior College, got an Associate of Arts degree, and then got a business degree from the University of Southern California. And I guess pretty early on, he was interested in politics. He began his career on the City Council of Ceres, California, which is near Modesto. Did that from 1972 to 1976. 74 to 76, he served as the mayor. He served on the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors from 76 to 82. Was elected to the California State Assembly in 1982. Then he kept on moving up, and he was elected to Congress in 1989 in a special election after the House Democratic Whip Tony Coelho resigned. And he was elected to a full term in 1990 and reelected 5 more times without serious difficulty.
So he was doing pretty well in politics.
He was. He was moving up in rank. Prior to 9/11, he was a senior member in the House Intelligence Committee. And he was what's considered a blue dog Democrat.
What does that mean?
Which means he's fairly conservative. So he was more likely to vote against Bill Clinton than other congressional Democrats.
I always thought of Bill Clinton as kind of a, you know, middle of the road guy, not a super liberal guy.
Yeah, but he was more conservative.
Okay. All right. Well, it was on May 10th that the police got a warrant to search Chandra's apartment, finally, and they found her cell phone, her purse, her credit cards, and her laptop, and her partially packed suitcases. The answering machine was full of messages from her family and two messages from Gary Condit himself. When police contacted Condit, he said he hadn't seen Chandra for a week, and he also denied having an affair with her.
So did she work with him as an intern?
No, she didn't work with him.
So why is he calling her?
Well, because they were having an affair.
But he said he wasn't.
Yeah, well,
I know,
he was.
I'm playing stupid here.
Okay. The police made some significant errors also in the investigation. In the initial search of the apartment, a policewoman accidentally erased the hard drive on Chandra's laptop. And then the police didn't get the security footage from the apartment building, which would have shown us her leaving the building and if she was alone or with someone, what she was wearing, all that kind of stuff. Now, when they did think to go back for the footage, it was 2 weeks later and it had already been recorded over. Because this was in the days of the VHS tape, of course.
This is good thinking, isn't it?
Well.
Now, how do you accidentally erase a hard drive?
Well, that's
You're the computer expert of the two of
us.
Well,
I'm a far cry from that. But it seems to me that messing up a hard drive takes some effort.
Right.
You just don't go into a computer and boom, that's...
I get the impression that it's more purposeful than accidental.
Well, I certainly feel that way, and it may seem a little bit paranoid, but I do see some things here that I could see the police being involved in a cover-up. I'm just going to say that up front, that I might be leaning that way a little bit as we go through this case.
That sounds like something to look at.
Sure.
Maybe not exactly a cover-up.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trying to protect a valued member of Congress.
Oh,
protect his reputation.
And yeah.
I would figure if they thought he was guilty of some crime that they'd go after him just like anybody else. But maybe they figured that he was just a innocent bystander having an affair with his intern.
So they just want to cover up the affair for him.
So they'll just do their best to keep him as much out of the limelight as possible.
Okay.
Maybe that's too charitable.
Well, no, I think that's a possibility, but I don't know what their motivation was or what their relationship with him was at the time. Because when police were finally able to get the information from her laptop's hard drive, they did find that she'd looked up a location in Rock Creek Park on the day that she disappeared. And that's when they searched the park, and this was about a month after she went missing, and they found nothing. Although the plan from headquarters was to search Glover Road and the other roads and the walking paths, plus 100 yards on either sides of these. Only the roads and 100 yards on either side of the roads was searched. Nobody searched the paths or the 100 yards on either side of the paths. Another very curious thing, because if they had, they would have found Chandra, we believe. But no evidence related to Chandra was found during these searches.
So those were kind of half-assed searches.
Well,
how come they didn't do what the plan was?
Well, that one we don't know. We don't know what the mess up there, if it was just a communication problem or if there was someone on the field there that didn't want that area searched.
Ah, the conspiracy theory again.
It's a possibility.
Okay.
Now, her disappearance became a national headline in the media, of course, because Chandra's family said that they felt like Condit was not being forthcoming, and he may have been hiding some information on her disappearance. It was on July 7th, 2001, that police told the public that Gary Condit had admitted to them that he had been having an affair with Chandra. So he might not have said it to the public, but the police said that he did admit it to them behind closed doors.
So the police searched Condit's apartment on July 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Marie Smith, a flight attendant, came forward to admit that she too was having an affair with Condit. He's a busy man in Washington.
And she was a beautiful woman, if you've seen the footage.
When she claimed that Condit told her not to speak to the FBI about Condit's personal life, the FBI opened up an investigation of Condit for possible obstruction of justice.
That's right.
Condit, in fact, refused to submit to a polygraph test by the D.C. police, but his attorney said that Condit passed a test by a private polygraph examiner.
Sure. Yeah.
Condit did an interview with Connie Chung in August of 2001.
Yes, we watched that interview.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
And he still would not admit to having had a sexual relationship with Chandra Levy.
No, he wouldn't. And he claimed it was for the privacy of her family and whatnot. But it just seemed very evasive, not just to me, but to the media at the time, of course.
Right. And here's one other tidbit. The night before his apartment was searched, Condit called a friend to help him dispose of a bag, which they dumped in an Alexandria dumpster.
Yeah. Well, someone was watching Condit as he went to the dumpster, actually. And that person retrieved the bag from the dumpster after he left.
Whoa.
But all that was found in the bag was an empty watch box with the instructions in it. So this was peculiar. And after some investigating, the police found that the watch box was from a watch that was given to Condit as a gift, but from another woman that he was having an affair with. So this kind of makes us think he's just trying to cover up an affair, not anything criminal that he might have done to Chandra. Seems like he's really concerned about covering up his affairs, which there seem to be several.
So this is a third person besides Chandra Levy, the flight attendant, and now this other person
that gave him the watch. Yeah. And I wasn't able to find out who she was.
Yeah.
So it was in September of 2001 that police were contacted by the lawyer of an informant. And this informant, Armando Morales, was being held in a Washington, D.C. jail. He claimed that he had information on who had killed Chandra Levy. Now, Armando Morales said that 20-year-old Ingmar Guandiki, an immigrant from El Salvador, who was held in the jail with him around this, at the same time, told him that Gary Condit had paid him $25,000 to kill Chandra. Because Guandiki had already admitted to police that he'd assaulted two other women in the same park, the investigators ruled out that this was a murder for hire. They thought it was suspicious that Guandiki didn't show up for work the day that Chandra disappeared, and also an ex-girlfriend was interviewed and said that his face was scratched and bruised at around the time of Chandra's disappearance. So things are kind of piling up that are making them suspicious of this guy.
This is before they've even found her remains, correct?
Yes, correct.
So even before we know for sure that she was murdered,
yes,
someone's saying that Condit hired a guy to kill her.
Yes, that's right.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the same guy who turns out to be the source that basically convicted Guandiki.
Yes, he's the one that testifies in the trial eventually, yeah.
So during this time, the investigators did not interview the other women who were assaulted in Rock Creek Park, and they did not make Guandiki a suspect.
No.
The chief of the D.C. police told reporters not to make too big a deal about Guandiki as a person of interest. At this point, Chandra's remains had not yet been found.
No, they hadn't.
But investigators were aware that the park had been looked up on Chandra's computer before her disappearance.
Right.
When questioned, Guandiki denied attacking Chandra.
He did, and he's always denied it since as well.
He's continued to.
Yeah, he has.
Now, the accuser, Armando Morales, he failed a polygraph test at November.
November of 2001?
2001.
Okay.
And then in February 2002... Guandiki took a polygraph test with inconclusive results. The results were officially termed not deceptive.
That's right. Now, there was some question about that because his primary language was not English, and it was done in English, but it was done with an interpreter, and they did decide that he was not deceptive. So that's interesting.
It is.
So things are cropping up here. But then after the 9/11 attacks in September, the media attention for her case, it diminished significantly, of course, because everybody
I'm sure. Everything diminished in interest other than the aftermath of the attacks.
Right, right. And the case went from a missing person to a murder investigation when Chandra's skeletal remains were found. And they were found by a man walking his dog in the Rock Creek Park in May of 2002.
Was he walking along those hiking trails that never got searched?
He was. Uh-huh. And his dog found the bones. They were bones at this point. It had been a year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So now the question of where Chandra Levy is solved. But now they need to figure out who killed her and why. In 2001, two other women, as we mentioned before, were attacked in Rock Creek Park. And one of the women gave a description. And Ingmar Guandiki, he was brought in for questioning on that. So in court, he was convicted of the two counts of assault on the two women. And the police still didn't make a connection to Chandra Levy, though. So he's convicted of attacking these two women in the park around the same time. But the...
They've found her remains at this point, or
yes.
not?
Yes, they have.
So we know that the intern who went missing has been found dead.
Found dead in the park,
yep. And we have this guy who's guilty, or declared guilty, of assaulting two other women in the same park.
Right, but the jailhouse snitch who said he confessed failed the polygraph, and Guandiki essentially passed the polygraph.
But is this the polygraph about assaulting the women?
No, this is a polygraph regarding Chandra.
Okay. So what does Guandiki say about assaulting the women? That he didn't do that either?
No, I think he did confess to that when he was convicted. Pretty sure he did, yeah.
So he says, okay, yeah, I assaulted a couple women, but I didn't kill that other one.
Well, he didn't bring it up. When he was tried for it, he finally admitted it.
Yeah.
But he didn't come up to someone and say, hey, I did this.
But he steadfastly denied any guilt in Chandra Levy's killing.
Right. And the other thing is there's really no evidence that he had anything to do with her. There's the circumstantial evidence of him attacking people in the same park.
Right. And there's the testimony of the jailhouse snitch.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is probably less than reliable.
I think it is. I think that probably the police should have given it a little more attention, but who knows? It just seems like things were not that well organized by the police or handled the way that they should have been. But of course, at this time, Condon is still really being looked at closely.
Yeah, because they haven't even charged Guandiki yet.
No.
With that.
This is not just for a long time.
About the two women who were assaulted.
Yes, and he goes to prison and then the case goes cold.
Right. The judge presiding over his trial of the assault on the two women.
Right.
He was asked if Guandiki was connected to the Chandra Levy murder. And she answered, this is such a satellite issue. To me, it doesn't have anything to do with Chandra's case.
Mm-hmm.
So he got 10 years in prison for the two attacks.
That's right.
Then in May of 2002, late May, Chandra's family held a memorial service at the Modesto Center Plaza. Over 1,200 people showed up.
That's a lot of people.
Guess who wasn't there?
Who?
Gary Condit.
Well, where was he?
He just wasn't there.
Maybe he wasn't invited.
I don't know that you get invited. If 1,200 people showed up, it was kind of, please come and pay your respects.
Yeah, I think he should have showed up to pay his respects, I think, if he was innocent.
So in a nationwide opinion poll by Fox News, 900 registered voters were asked if they thought Condit was involved in Chandra's disappearance.
Hmm.
Almost half, 44%, thought he might be.
Sure. I'm surprised it's not even higher than that. I really am.
Meanwhile, he's just going on as if nothing's happened.
Yeah.
This time, though, when he was running for re-election, he lost in the primary.
First time for him.
First time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it for his congressional career.
It was over, yeah. Well, Condit was subpoenaed in April of 2002 to testify before a grand jury that was investigating Chandra's disappearance. So this was about a month before they'd found her remains. And then he left Congress when his term ended on January 3rd of 2003. The District of Columbia police chief at the time, Charles Ramsey, made the announcement on May 22nd, 2002, that her skeletal remains that matched her dental records were found in Rock Creek Park. Detectives on the scene found bones, they found personal items, and they were scattered in a forested area near an incline. A sports bra, sweatshirt, leggings, and tennis shoes were found also. After the preliminary autopsy results were released, the police announced that a homicide investigation was now being opened. So it was no longer just a missing persons, and something with the autopsy made them think that this couldn't have been an accidental death, that it had to be a homicide.
I don't have the whole report. I don't have any of the report.
Okay.
But what I've heard on YouTube videos and stuff was that the hyoid bone was fractured.
Yes.
And that would indicate strangulation.
Yes. I think that was a big factor in it for them.
Yeah, because otherwise you just got bones.
Right.
You're not going to tell much else.
No, they couldn't tell if there was a sexual assault or anything like that, which I'd like to talk about soon because they actually were trying this Guandiki guy for sexual assault and other things, which there was no evidence of that as far as I know. Her clothing didn't have any of his DNA or sperm or anything on it. So that was strange, I thought. So after the preliminary autopsy results were released, the police declared her death a homicide, but they said that how she died could not be definitively determined, as you said. And the damage to her hyoid bone was found, and they said that that did suggest strangulation. And on June 6th, after the police had completed their search, private investigators hired by the Levies found her shin bone and some twisted wire 25 yards from the other remains. Now, this is crazy. Police Chief Ramsey even admitted that it was unacceptable that the items were not recovered by the police in their search. So the police have been there, supposedly doing a thorough search, and 25 yards away, they find her shin bone.
Well, they missed a couple things.
And some twisted wire, which could be what was used to strangle her.
Could have been the murder weapon.
Right. But again, no DNA of Guandiki's or anyone else found on the wire. Although I imagine if you're going to strangle someone with wire, you're going to wear gloves because you could hurt your hands at the same time.
Right.
Wire's pretty.
But no DNA of Chandra Levy either.
That I don't know. On the wire? I haven't found anything out. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, they must have thought the twisted wire had something to do with her death, or they wouldn't have remarked on it being near the shin bone.
Right.
So.
And maybe there wasn't any DNA to recover because it had been lying there for a year.
Good point. It'd been a long time. Yeah, that's true. But it's just outrageous that those things were found there. And I don't know the length of the wire or anything like that, but it's just, I would be pretty damn pissed off if I was her parent, finding out that they left one of her bones there they didn't find. I would think that they would search at least 100 yards around the site of where they found these, because they were scattered. It's not like she was buried in one spot. We're talking about scattered belongings and bones.
Right.
And then 25 yards away, they don't find something. This is just half-assed.
No, that wasn't a very good search.
No.
Very thorough search.
Right. And if the family hadn't hired a private investigator to do that search, it may have never been found. And her bones just out there in the woods. It's creepy. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't know how much that would have. I mean, I think the twisted wire probably gave some information.
Right.
But I'm sure they didn't find every single bone in her skeleton.
No.
In that area.
No, but it just shows such a lack of professionalism that they didn't find it.
Right.
Not that it was that significant to the case, but it just shows incompetence, I believe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like you said, there's a lot of other things. And
well, yeah, we've got the hard drive.
The hard drive getting erased, the half-assed search of the park.
Right. And the
security cameras.
Security cameras.
And now this.
And now this, yeah. So in 2005, investigative journalist Dominic Dunn was interviewed on Larry King Live, and he announced that he believed Gary Condit knew more about the Levy case than he had admitted. Condit filed two lawsuits against Dunn and received a settlement of an undisclosed amount in one of them, but in 2008, the other suit was dismissed. We don't know any details about that and why it was dismissed. But I thought that was interesting. It just shows that it was a very big case if it was aired on Larry King Live. And Dominic Dunn, I've read a few of his books. He does a lot of the big cases. I think he did something on O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah. He attended the trial.
Yeah. He's followed a lot of big cases.
He does a lot of big murder cases.
Mm-hmm. And didn't he also write some novels?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
kind of prolific.
Okay. So I just thought that was interesting that one was settled and the other one was dismissed.
Yeah, and he also ended up suing the Sonoran News, which is just one of those weekly throwaway newspapers.
Oh, Condit did?
Condit did.
Yeah.
I sued them for defamation of character after the publication wrote that Condit was the main focus in the Chandra Levy case, after lying to investigators about his affair. That doesn't sound worthy of a lawsuit, and it was dismissed.
Yeah, I don't see where he gets the nerve to sue people for saying he's suspicious when he behaves suspiciously. He lied, first of all, to the police.
Twice.
And to the public, yes.
Right, not just one time.
No.
Repeatedly.
And refused to take a polygraph.
If the aunt hadn't come forward and said that Chandra had confided in her about the affair, he'd still be denying it.
Well, yeah, and they might not even have known, because we didn't mention this, but when they were having the affair, he was very determined for her to be secretive. He didn't want her to tell anyone about the affair. She had to follow certain rules about entering his apartment building, about where they met. He was very strict about her not telling anyone that they were having an affair and about no one finding out. So it seemed like his priority there was to save his political career, which is understandable in a way. But once you have a young girl missing, a young girl killed, I think you should set aside your political worries about your political career and put that first. Have some balls, have some decency.
Well, you're talking about a sane person or a rational person.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people in politics are just so swept up in the importance of being a high-ranking official that they don't want to do anything that would jeopardize that.
But it doesn't show any care for her if he was actually in a romantic relationship with her. And according to her aunt, Chandra thought that they had a 5-year plan, that they were going to get married.
Well, he probably said that to everybody he had an affair with.
You're probably right, yeah. Yeah, so that makes him despicable in my book. I'm going to call him despicable.
Oh, he is. He's a perfect slime.
He is. He really is.
Now, the other thing I would wonder is why would you ever think with a 30-year age difference that there is a future in that relationship?
Oh, come on, you're a 24-year-old girl. Of course you think that.
Oh, jeez.
You have this romantic way of thinking.
All right.
He's telling her all she wants to hear. She's in love with him. I mean, we certainly can't blame her for thinking that when he's telling her that. I don't blame her at all for that. I think he was a scumbag to lead her on that way.
Yeah.
And if he had her killed, then he's...
I suppose you're right, that in your early 20s, you're thinking differently.
Of course you are.
Your brain's not wired.
If it's your first real romance, and this guy, you know, he's a politician, he's wealthy, he's got all these connections... She thinks he's really smart because these are things she's interested in. She's interested in politics. So she's really enamored with him, looking up to him. And he took advantage of that, not only with her, but with other women, it seems, other young women.
So it seems.
Yeah.
He was a definite player.
Yeah, scumbag.
Okay, we'll just call him scumbag.
Let's call him scumbag, sure.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, Chandra's homicide, it actually remained a cold case and a topic of speculation until 2006, when Kathy L. Lanier succeeded Ramsey as the D.C. police chief. Now, she replaced the lead detective on Chandra's case with 3 more experienced homicide detectives. So Kathy L. Lanier, she succeeds Ramsey as the D.C. police chief, and then she replaces the lead detectives. And in 2007, the Washington Post assigned a new team of reporters to re-examine Chandra's case as well.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, and there's a lot to look over that really wasn't mentioned in the media right away, right?
Right. There was one unreported and unexplained fact in the case is there was a 911 call made by a neighbor of Chandra's at 4:30 in the morning on the day she disappeared, 2001. The caller reported hearing a woman scream outside her apartment building. Patrol officers found nothing suspicious in the area when they arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And because she had not yet been reported missing, they had no reason to check Chandra's apartment.
Right. That makes sense. But I don't see why afterwards it wasn't looked into more. I could see right at the time they had nothing to base it on, but...
Yeah, afterwards you'd think they'd look into that.
Yeah.
They said that it appears that Chandra was using her computer for more than 3 hours later that morning. So that's why they weren't considering the 911 call to be evidence.
So my question is, how did they know that was Chandra using the computer?
Exactly.
And how clear are we on this computer, the times and things, since the hard drive was supposedly messed up for a while
and
they recovered it? How much can we trust the recovery and the accuracy of this? I don't know.
We can't.
I mean, I honestly don't know enough about it to say, but... I don't trust it 100%.
Yeah, the best they can come up with is that they think she was using her computer between 9:30 in the morning and 1 p.m. on May 1st.
Right. And this is when they think she looked up the Rock Creek Park location. How do we know that someone else didn't look up that location and then took her there?
Yeah, because this is after the woman heard the scream.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think that definitely shouldn't have been brushed aside the way it was. I think that is definitely a significant thing that we should keep in mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just really disturbing the way the police handled and mishandled this thing.
Well, but now there's a new police chief.
Yeah.
And there's a new team of investigators.
Right.
So clearly, I mean, I don't see anything unusual about a new chief. That probably happens every few years.
Probably.
I don't know if it's
no, they're not elected, position. Are they?
I don't know.
Okay.
But to replace the lead detective with a new team, that's very interesting.
Well, so I think that says something.
She must have been, the new chief must have been thinking, I need some fresh blood in here because this guy hasn't gotten anywhere and might in fact be not even investigating this any longer.
Maybe he doesn't want to find out. Maybe he's in on the whole damn thing.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's possible.
But not probable.
No, it's possible. Okay, well, in 2007, this got interesting because the Washington Post decided to assign a new team of reporters to re-examine Chandra's case from the beginning. There was a series of articles published throughout the summer of 2008, and it actually focused on the failure of the police to fully investigate Gwandiki's attacks in Rock Creek Park and their possible connection to Chandra's murder. So it's about time.
Yeah, but still at this time he hasn't been charged with Chandra's death, right?
No. Nope, he's in prison for the attacks.
He's in prison for those attacks.
Yep. No, he hasn't been charged. So the case has gone cold from 2001. Now it's September 2008, and investigators search Gwandiki's federal prison cell. So this is interesting. They found a photo of Chandra in his cell that he had saved from a magazine and posted on his wall. What do you think of that? They seem to think that that was a sign that he did it. I don't know if I see it that way.
Well, yeah, I guess they're thinking it's, to him, a trophy.
Well, maybe, or maybe it's not.
But maybe he was just interested in the case.
Well, you would be if you're being suspected for it, right? If it happened in an area where you had attacked people.
But he hasn't been yet.
Well, he's been convicted of attacking people in that area,
yeah,
though.
But he hasn't been charged or suspected.
He's been suspected. Remember, they gave him the polygraph.
Yeah.
So he was suspected a little bit.
That was about Chandra? I thought it was about the two women.
No. Okay. He was given a polygraph about Chandra, the one that he passed, or that was showed no deceit.
Not deceptive.
Yeah. Yeah. So they interviewed Gwandiki's ex-girlfriend and the women from the other Rock Creek Park attacks at that point when they saw the picture. Now, I don't know if it was the picture that was such a big deal that made them change tacks. It seems a little strange to me. But that seems to be where it led them. So the Superior Court of the District of Columbia then issued an arrest warrant for Gwandiki in March of 2009. So it's been close to 8 years, right?
Right, yeah.
And he was indicted by a grand jury on 6 counts. Now, here's what I was talking about earlier, the counts. Now, all they found were bones. They didn't find any evidence of a sexual assault, at least not that we know of.
Right.
So he was indicted on these counts. These are 6 counts I'm going to list for you now. The first one was kidnapping. The second one was first-degree murder committed during a kidnapping. So does this mean they think that he brought her from her apartment? Or could kidnapping mean just because he grabbed her in the park? That could also be kidnapping, right? Grabbing someone.
No, I would take it to mean that she was taken from somewhere and brought to the park.
Okay.
Because if she was simply accosted in the park and killed... Mm-hmm. That's not kidnapping. That's just first-degree murder.
Okay.
I don't mean to say it that way. But
it's only first-degree murder.
Right.
Right.
I think they had to have thought that he brought her from someplace.
That's what I thought. Now, it could be he brought her from one area of the park to another. Maybe somebody that knows more can fill us in on that. I'm not sure. But then the third count was attempted first-degree sexual abuse.
Okay.
Okay. How would they know if he attempted sexual abuse? He didn't confess. There were no witnesses. And according to Armando Morales, he had told him he didn't rape her. He just killed her for Condit, for the money. So I don't know where they got this attempted first-degree sexual abuse charge. That threw me a little. So then the other one is first-degree murder committed during a sexual offense.
Okay.
And then attempted robbery, which I don't know what he would have been robbing. She didn't have her phone, money, anything. So I don't know where that came from either. And first-degree murder committed during a robbery.
Okay.
So this is all just really strange to me.
But
as a layperson, I don't get it.
As another layperson, I kind of get it because they're throwing up as many charges as they can and hope that some of them stick.
But how can you throw up things that you have no proof of?
They can do that. I mean, they don't. I mean, they can put that in the indictment.
Sure.
But they might not ever prove it.
Okay. I don't think anyone was suggesting that there was a robbery.
No.
No, I don't think so. No one mentioned any jewelry or anything being missing.
Well.
So I don't know. So that was strange to me, especially the attempted first-degree sexual abuse. Yeah. How would they even get that idea? Unless there's something that wasn't shared with the public, which could very well be.
Could be.
Yeah. So maybe, that was strange.
Maybe they never found her underwear. They found her sports bra and her tights.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, as a girl that exercises, sometimes you just wear the tights.
Okay.
Especially if they're specially made for exercising. They have like a built-in kind of underwear panel in them.
So, never mind.
But that's just a possibility. I don't know. She could have had underwear. But Gwendiki pleaded not guilty at his arraignment for this. And a trial date was set for January of 2010. So now we're, what, 8.5 years out?
Right.
And after processing errors contaminated some of the evidence with DNA from the prosecutor office's employees. Does that make sense? So some of the evidence was contaminated by DNA of prosecutor office employees.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
Well, by mishandling things.
But aren't you not supposed to handle things with your hands at all?
Well, one would think.
Yeah.
But apparently they didn't do it that way.
Well, this didn't cancel anything out, but it delayed the trial until October 4th, 2010. And I don't know how that works. Does that mean it just gave them time to differentiate between their DNA and the other DNA that was found?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. So I guess it didn't make any DNA, I mean, any of the evidence inadmissible. It just was something to overcome, I guess.
So at this time, Morales has indicated that Gwendiki confessed to him?
Well, he testifies in the trial.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he had testified earlier that...
He didn't testify.
Well, he had given a statement earlier that Gwendiki said he killed her because Condit paid him to do it.
Right, right.
So they must not have believed that because they would have charged Condit too.
Yeah, they said that they didn't because he had... And I don't know what kind of logic this is, but because he had attacked the other two women in the park, they didn't feel that the idea that he was paid to kill Chandra was legitimate.
All right.
Unless, you know.
Sounds kind of specious.
Maybe Condit went to the park, saw this guy attacking women, and said, hey, have I got a job for you?
Yeah. That's
probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. But, you know, something like that could have happened. I don't know why that rules out the fact that he could have been paid by Condit. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't in my mind.
No, it certainly doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Although, I guess if they took it at all seriously, they would have looked closer at Condit at the time. So
yeah.
they must have discounted that and just figured he did it.
I guess.
The other thing that I'm interested in is this is the same snitch that ratted him out about the women too, right? He's saying that...
I don't think so.
Oh, he didn't?
No, I think the women identified him.
The women,
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just back when he was, before he was convicted for attacking these women, Morales brought up that he had killed Chandra way back then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he never, Morales never said he told him other crimes that he committed.
Not that I'm aware of.
All right.
No.
Okay. So let's get the trial started. Jury selection started on October 18th, 2010. The two women who had been attacked in Rock Creek Park in 2001, Hallie Schilling and Christy Wiegand, testified about their attacks by Ingmar Gwendiki. Chandra's father, Robert, took the stand for the prosecution and refuted statements he had made in the past suspecting Gary Conant of harming his daughter. He had told authorities back in 2001 that Chandra would not have jogged alone in the park, but he said he no longer thought that was true.
Yeah.
He also said that he had been convinced that Condit was guilty until we learned about this character here, and he was referring to Gwendiki.
Yeah, do you want to talk about this a little bit?
So that's kind of a 180-degree turnaround here.
Well, yeah, and it also seems like, well, they convinced him somehow that it was this other guy, without any real evidence that it was this other guy, as far as we know.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what convinced him of this? I think maybe it was just that the idea of finding her killer and putting him away was so reassuring to him, subconsciously, that he would go ahead and believe that this is the guy, let's get him convicted so that he could have a little peace. Because this guy was heartbroken.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy just gushed out
full
sobs.
Couldn't get through an interview.
He loved his daughter, something crazy, yeah. He was just a really emotional guy, too, more emotional than his wife in many ways. So I could see that if the police are saying, well, we found this guy who attacked women in the park, and we believe that he killed your daughter, then it's easy for him to push Condon aside and believe what the police are telling him.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, because they certainly were very suspicious of Condon in the beginning because he was so evasive.
Yeah, well, like the father said, he was convinced Condon was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Until he found out about Gwendiki.
Which kind of says it all, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Gary Condit testified at the trial.
Yeah, he did.
He was asked at least 3 times if he and Chandra had been involved in a romantic or sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And
his answer was, I am not going to respond to that question out of privacy for myself and Chandra. So isn't that nice of him to protect her privacy now that she's been killed?
Well, they can make him answer it. The only way he doesn't have to answer it is to take the Fifth Amendment.
They let him get away with that, though.
Okay.
He admitted that they had a friendship, but he never did admit on the stand that they had a sexual or romantic relationship. I don't think that any old Joe would have been allowed to get away with that.
Undoubtedly so.
Right. So this is a murder trial, and I don't see how that answer is acceptable at all. To me, that's not acceptable. Put your political concerns aside. Privacy, that doesn't really matter anymore. We're trying to find out who killed this girl. And if you can't give us a straight answer, then something's wrong here. And it's not okay.
Right.
That's how I feel about it.
Exactly.
Now, FBI biologist Alan Gusti testified that semen on underwear from Chandra's apartment contained Gary Condon's sperm. So there was our evidence. If it wasn't enough that Chandra confided to her aunt that she was having an affair with him and they were in love and they were going to get married, now we have DNA proof. His sperm was on her underwear in her apartment. So we know that they had an affair. And why was he allowed to be so elusive?
Well, did they confront him with that evidence? What did he say?
I'm sure they did. Yeah. I don't know.
He said...
He never admitted it.
I refuse to answer that question.
For their privacy, he would not admit it. Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not liking this guy.
You said he was a scumbag.
He is. And I would not put murder beyond him. But let's go on.
Let's.
Prosecution witness Armando Morales testified that Guandiki confessed to Chandra's murder when he was in the same jail with him in 2001, right?
Right.
So Morales, he was a gang leader, he was a drug dealer, and he was a known jailhouse snitch. So this wasn't his first time. But Morales actually presented himself well, according to people who were in the courtroom on the witness stand. He was actually quite charming, and the jurors believed him. He was a believable witness.
So Guandiki, he must have had a public defender.
Guandiki, I would imagine.
But The defense lawyer didn't hammer at him, at Morales, and try to get his story to
He didn't deviate. Tear him down like I think a good lawyer probably could have.
Right.
This guy should not have any credibility.
Not at
no.
all.
No.
And as it turns out, he doesn't.
He doesn't. Right. But he was very believable there, they say, and the jurors believed him. So there was no confession aside from the one that Morales claimed to hear. There were no witnesses, and there was no DNA evidence against Guandiki, but he actually was convicted, as we know. So over the past 5 years, while Guandiki's been imprisoned and he's got this 60-year murder sentence, the defense lawyers have gathered new information that do cast doubt on the validity of Morales' testimony. So finally, they got to that.
Yeah, you know, we talk about eyewitnesses and the reliability of them.
Sure.
I'd like to see some studies or statistics on the reliability of jailhouse snitches.
Yes, and in one of these articles I read, they did have some information on that and some statistics, and it's not good.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Of course not.
I mean, these guys are looking out for themselves, and they want to do whatever they can to reduce their sentence or get some benefits.
Of course.
Out of it. So they'll say anything that you want them to say.
Mm-hmm. And they actually found out that Morales asked to be put into the witness protection program in exchange for his testimony. And that's even though he testified on the stand that he hadn't sought any benefit from his testimony. And that was allowed to stand in his testimony. Nobody had found out that that was not true during the trial.
Yeah.
Now, last year, 2015, a judge decided that Guandiki should receive a new trial. And actually, the prosecution acknowledged that a retrial was warranted in this case.
That's a big step.
It is.
So what was the reason for granting him a new trial?
Well, questions about Morales started to pile up. And then there was a woman named Babs Prolier who began recording her conversations with Morales. And she turned her recordings over to the authorities just this July. And just last week, on July 28th, the prosecutors dropped the charges against Guandiki, saying that they recently received evidence that made it impossible for them to prove their case against him beyond a reasonable doubt. So that's interesting.
So what'd she do, record him saying that he lied?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But we don't know exactly what was in the recordings between Prolier and Morales because it's not public knowledge. But it seems that they were part of the information, obviously, that prompted the prosecutors to dismiss their case against Guandiqui. Susan Levy, Chandra's mother, she was in an interview just last week, and she said that she felt despair over her daughter's unsolved murder.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah.
I'm sure the parents are just devastated. Because
sure.
It's like they're back 15 years ago at square one.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't 15 years ago. He was only convicted in 2009.
But she disappeared in 2001.
Right. Yeah, so they're back when they didn't even know. I see what
right.
you're saying. Yeah. Now, David Benowitz, a criminal defense attorney in Washington, he told the Washington Post that prosecutors have clear obligations to inform defense attorneys of any potential issues when they use jailhouse informants. Now, here's where he said that jailhouse snitch testimony is inherently unreliable. The problem is exacerbated, of course, when prosecutors refuse to disclose information that would allow the defense to attack the informant's reliability. So they, if they knew that he was asking to be in the witness protection program, but they did not reveal that at the time, that's not right.
That taints the testimony.
If not illegal, it's absolutely unethical. But I think it is illegal, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, defense lawyers did attempt to undermine Morales' testimony during the trial. They actually presented testimony from a third cellmate, and he said he was almost always with Morales and Guandiqui, and he never heard a confession from him. They'd spent most of their time together. It had never come up when he was in the area. And during Morales' cross-examination, they suggested that Morales had ulterior motives for pointing the finger at Guandiqui. But ultimately, the defense failed to persuade the jury that there was a reasonable doubt, and they believed him.
But over time, things changed.
Yeah, so Guandiqui no longer faces charges in Chandra Levy case, but he does face deportation.
He's definitely going to be deported.
Right.
He's in the country illegally, and they're not going to keep criminal because he has confessed, right?
Well, he was at least convicted.
Or convicted of the assaults of the two women.
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
So.
And then, of course, the lawyer for Gary Condon, he said it would be wrong for people to think that Condon could again become a suspect.
And why is that? That's just lawyer talk.
Well, sure. They just don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Condon's attorney said that he was completely exonerated a long time ago, and he is neither a subject nor a target of the continued investigation into Chandra's murder.
Well, let's just wait and see.
Yeah, not surprising that he said that, but it wouldn't surprise me if something comes back on Gary Condon finally on this case.
No, because look, think about this.
Yeah, let's.
Okay. So here's this young lady who's having an affair. We know that's the case because of the DNA.
Right.
She goes missing. Her remains are found.
Right.
Okay. So I guess that Guandiqui could have done it.
Right. But we know how rare it is for a stranger crime to happen.
Right.
It's much more likely someone you know.
But he could have done it.
He
has assaulted women in that park. So it sounds like he frequented that park.
Okay.
A stranger, another stranger, someone else could have done it.
Right, right.
Or Condit was involved.
Right.
Now, maybe not the actual crime itself, but maybe he paid somebody to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be leaning towards that one.
Well, you know what really this makes me think of, because I'm a real movie buff, but the movie Crimes and Misdemeanors with Woody Allen. Remember that movie?
Vaguely.
Yeah. So there's this eye doctor. And he's having an affair with a woman for years and years. And he's got this, he's very successful. He's got this perfect-looking family. And his lover is finally getting tired of this. She says, I want you to tell your wife, and finally we can be together. I'm sick of this. I want you to do something. If you don't talk to her, I will. And he tries to poo-poo her and hush her, but she won't. She says, you tell her now, or I'm going to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has her killed.
Okay, right.
And it turns out being addressed as a random crime, a robbery and a murder in her home,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to a very successful life with his family.
There you go.
It's also like another Woody Allen movie and one of my very favorites, Match Point. And I know you've seen that one.
I've seen that a few times with you.
Yeah, that's a great movie. But that's another one where the guy doesn't want his lover to mess up his perfect life, to make him lose his career or his money. And She's killed, and it looks like a random act.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be impossible for Gary Condit to have made something like this happen.
No. I think of the possibilities that I thought about, that's the most likely, that he's involved in somehow.
I think so, too, because I think that he has no value for her. If he's having these affairs with young women, he's just having fun with them. He didn't value her life or her feelings.
Right. And she posed a major threat to him.
She did. So she's disposable.
At the time, he was a rising star.
He was. Or and then
maybe not a huge rising star, but I'm sure he had ambitions for being more than the House of Representatives guy.
Sure. He planned to go further up the political ladder.
Yeah.
He did.
And Miss Levy is going to mess things up.
Well, and another thing is, at the time of her disappearance, her internship had ended.
Right.
She was supposed to head back to graduate.
Right.
Now, her thoughts of a 5-year plan with Condit would have meant graduating and coming back.
And coming back to D.C. Sure.
Right. Maybe he didn't want her to do that.
Right.
And that's why I called it the end of the affair, because to him it was the end of the affair.
Very apropos.
And to her, she thought that things were just starting out and that they had a future. Now, there was also some talk about her thinking that she was pregnant.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any evidence that speaks to that.
No.
Other than some hearsay stuff.
Yeah, I think it was just hearsay that she had told a friend or someone that she thought she might be pregnant. At first, I thought that she told her aunt that, but she actually hadn't. Her aunt had just been told that she was having an affair and that it was different. It wasn't just an affair. They were in love. And he had told her that his marriage to his wife was simply a political partnership. And he just needed to stay married to her for a certain amount of time. He needed her to be patient and they would be together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good line.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you agree with me that it could be him. Because it seems like a lot of the press has been trying to say that he had nothing to do with it just because he was ruled out back in 2002.
Yeah, but he was ruled out because of a jailhouse snitch.
Sure.
Who fingered the other guy.
Right.
I don't know that there is any other evidence that compelled people to rule Condit out other than they had this guy and they focused on him.
Right. And if this guy never came up, what would have happened?
Right.
And maybe that was why this guy came up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the whole thing could have been made up. The attacks, everything could have been made up to protect him.
Yeah.
They might have set this guy up completely. This guy is from a foreign country. He, you know, doesn't speak English. He is vulnerable.
You're right.
Now, granted, I think he did have criminal activity in his past, but that would just make him more vulnerable as a target to set up for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really interested to see over the next several months or years what happens with this case, because it's an open, unsolved case.
Right. Back to square one.
So I hope that there will be investigators that will take this from the beginning, start over, take a fresh look at it.
It sounds like they will.
I want to know what happened to Chandra Levy.
Me too.
So do you have anything else to say about it?
The only other thing I'd say is that Mr. Condit's post...
Oh, yeah. What's he doing now? I know you looked him up.
His career after leaving office hasn't exactly been stellar.
No? Okay.
He moved to Arizona, and he operated an ice cream store, I think a Baskin-Robbins franchise.
Hmm.
And he was a civil defendant for costs due to franchise failures. And he's also defending a civil suit for fees and costs. So his business career didn't take off.
Oh, so and who's suing him? The franchise?
The franchise.
Oh.
His current job is president of the Phoenix Institute of Desert Agriculture.
Huh.
Now, I have no idea what the hell that means.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a big deal.
Maybe he's going to grow the cactus better or something.
Maybe.
And I get the impression, although I couldn't get any confirmation, but I don't think he's married any longer.
Oh, really? What makes you think that?
It says he moved. It doesn't say he and his family moved.
Okay. Well, I would hope that his wife isn't still with him. I hope she thinks enough of herself to have gotten out of that relationship.
I'd leave him in a heartbeat.
Well, and the weird thing is, he wasn't even attractive.
Well, right. I guess not.
No, you might not have much to say on it, but I can tell you from my view, he was not really an attractive man.
Okay.
No, kind of a weenie. So, thanks for that follow-up on him. That's interesting. So, we'll have to see what happens.
We will see. It's going to be interesting.
That's right. Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you all.
Yep. And just so that everybody knows, we are still really happy to get 5-star reviews on iTunes. We love to get those. They've really helped us move up and get lots more listeners. So thank you so much for that. Thanks again to our Team Tie Grabber members who have joined up. And you'll be getting your perks. And also, we're going to be adding more things to that. We're going to have some, hopefully some premium material only for Team Tie Grabber members. Hoping to get working on that in the fall. So if you just come upon us for the first time, I just want you to know that True Crime Brewery is available on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on Google Play. Our website is www.tiegrabber.com. If you have any input or suggestions for us, you can email us at truecrimebrewery@tiegrabber.com. You could also go to our website and leave us a voicemail on the voicemail link there. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week.
We'll be here.
Bye-bye.